every one of you here this evening. We have a good number back that was here this morning. We have some that were not here this morning. We do appreciate your attendance. We hope that as you have come here this evening, that we have set all the things and the cares of the world aside, and we want to study a portion of God's Word. I hope that you feel that this time that we spend together and that we spend talking with one another before and after is kind of a harbor of safety. It's kind of a place where you'd love to come and to be with those of like precious faith. We face so many difficulties in the world, in the workplace, and in different areas of our life where we don't associate with those who hold the same standards that we do. And I do feel, and I hope that you also feel, that this is a time that we look forward to, and that we can spend together, that you are here with people who have a like precious faith, who share the same things in common that you do. And truly it is a time and it is a place of safety where you truly can be yourself and you don't have to always be on your guard. The world has caused so many things to come upon us as children of God. So many temptations are hurled at us daily. And we see all kind of permissive things in our society. And that's what we want to talk about this evening. Is some of the permissive trends or tendencies that we see going on about us every day. Webster defines a tendency as being an inclination to move or act in a particular direction or way, a leaning or a bias or a drift. I think we all understand what a tendency is or what a trend is. Sometimes we get caught up in them. Sometimes we wonder if we ought to go along with some of the tendencies that we see in the world. Some of the things that our friends and that our relatives and neighbors are part of, we wonder, should we get involved in that? Because we recognize them as being tendencies and trends, and we're not sure where they're going to go. We're not sure if they're going to end up being right or being wrong. But we all understand what that tendency or that trend is. I can remember growing up as a child, I had a tendency toward eating too much. Now, you can see the results of that. It was a tendency that I would eat everything that my mother put on the table. And as a child, that was good. Because as children, you needed the energy that food would give you. You needed because you were growing. My sister, on the other hand, didn't eat hardly at all. She ate like a bird. But yet we see the tendencies and the trends that we had as children didn't always end up right. One ended up maybe perhaps being a bad tendency and a bad trend, and the other one good. We all know what a tendency is. Some of us maybe have a tendency to be a little bit hard-headed, a little bit stubborn, or maybe we work too much. And it's hard to know sometimes where a tendency and a trend ends and a practice begins. There are these tendencies and trends that are in religion. We can see them all the time. People around about us who are involved in different denominations are starting to do certain things that are new. And they're wanting to know if your church is also doing that particular thing. And if you're not, then they'll want to know why. Because it's something new that everybody is becoming involved in. There are tendencies and trends in religion. And we're not always sure where they're going to lead. As I said, it's hard to know where a trend ends and a practice begins. I think I've used the illustration here before concerning a beard. You know, we all know what a beard is. We all can recognize a beard. But it's hard for us to know when someone has just whiskers on their face and when someone has a beard. And we recognize whiskers and we recognize beards. But sometimes it's hard for us to distinguish where one ends and the other begins. And that's the way it is with religious tendencies and trends that we see about us. Just where they're going to go is not always obvious. And it's not always good. And most of the time, we find them to be something that is very hard for us to deal with. Why are these things so troublesome to us, though? Well, nothing blinds a person like becoming involved in that particular thing. Once you begin to participate in a certain activity, if you're like everybody else, you begin to lose clear vision as to where that thing might be headed. And once aboard a trend wagon, we might call it, there are very few people who are willing to get off. And there is a gradual involvement of our time, and we become blinded, perhaps, to the direction that that particular trend is going. We see in our society, as we said, tendencies and trends toward permissiveness. Permissiveness we mean by a willingness to permit more, to be liberal toward, not to restrain. We find a philosophy in our day and age, and this is not just today, it's been in as I was growing up, and that is the philosophy that you don't make rules, you don't put restraints on people. You allow them to do whatever they want to do. After all, the Constitution of the United States gives them the freedom to do and to be whatever they want to be. And so we are following that. All of us will freely admit that this is going on. Yet I'm also sure that most of us as children of God will claim that we're not influenced by it, that it's not touching our life. We're not influenced by the permissiveness that is perhaps in our neighbor's household, our relatives and our friends, as we can see the direction that they're going. But we will say and we'll make the claim that it's not influencing us, it's not affecting us. But we can see it in the highest positions in government, to the family unit, to the individual himself. Most of us will admit to permissive trends. But again, a lot of us will say, who cares? Who cares if we're heading in that direction? We're enjoying more freedoms now. Trends and practices which affect the nation and the society in which we live sooner or later will affect the church. Whatever you see in society, and I'm talking about any society, again, not just the one that we're living in, if it's a culture in India or in the Philippines or halfway around the world or wherever you want to be, that society, whatever you see in that society is eventually going to be in the church in that area, in that culture, in that society. Because people are in the church, and people are a part of society, and one will affect the other. And we see permissive trends in our day and age. We see permissive trends when it comes to morality. I think we will all agree to that. Every one of us will agree that in the area of morality and the morals that people are living by, that restraints are being thrown off, that nobody has any barriers placed upon them. They can do whatever they want. And under the pretense of wanting freedom, all barriers have been taken down. Everything that would stop and forbid a person from doing certain things, that barrier has been removed and people can do whatever they want to do. All of those anchors that were once in place, making sure that we did not do certain things, those anchors have been cut loose and we are adrift to do anything that we want to. In morality, we have gotten to the point of, as they were in the day of the judges, in the 17th chapter and verse 6, it says there, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And when it comes to morality, in the day and age which we live, that certainly is true. We are doing whatever is right in our own eyes. We don't like to have anybody tell us what is wrong. If we cannot do this and we cannot do that, all restraints have been taken away. There is a permissiveness that is found. There is a religious standard also in relationship to this permissiveness on morality. And that new religious standard is this, that as just as long as you live above the standard that has been set by the world, then you're okay. You know, the world has a certain standard to live by. Here is a code of conduct, if we will, that the world says is okay. And if you want to be considered a religious person, then all you have to do is live above that. And you know there's only one problem wrong with that, and that is this. That standard of the world, what is happening to it? It keeps getting lower and lower and lower. And so that standard that exists just above the world also is getting lower and lower and lower. But again, when it comes to religion, if you want to be considered a religious person by the people that are found in the world, just live above that standard that's found in the world. In the freedom that we find in today's world, as we said, it is getting more permissive with its morality. In the freedom of sexual expression, we find this something, that we're almost appalled by what we hear and what we see daily. We find that as I was growing up as a child and as an early adult, There were live-in marriages, the sexual morality that was found there. The trends begin to be, and the tendencies begin to be at that time, to throw off all kind of restraints. Whatever you found to be a barrier, you didn't have to listen to that kind of conduct anymore. You could do whatever you wanted to do. Until finally, we see now that tendency has led to a point of where homosexuality is not only something that is accepted, but it is also something that is applauded by many people in our society today. That a person would take that kind of stand for their own sexual freedom, for their own morality, or if we can say their own immorality. All those restraints have been removed. And it all began with that permissiveness of maybe 20, 25, or 30 years ago. Perhaps going back even a little further than that. Whatever a person's own individual choice is, we find now you don't condemn that. As a matter of fact, as we said, you applaud that. That they have that kind of openness to admit perhaps they're homosexual or whatever it might be, their own particular standard of morality. We find also permissiveness in morality when it comes to the things that we see on television or in the movies. And one of the things that we have discovered is that sex is something that sells. And if you've got something to sell, all you have to do is connect it with sex in some way or another, and you're going to get people's attention. You know, that's really all you have to do is use those three letters and say that word, and you're going to get people's attention. They're going to listen to what you have to say. We've learned that. And so the immorality that is found and the permissiveness that is found goes this far also. We might say that it's not just a tendency, that it has become an established practice. We're often surprised as we turn on the television and we see some of the things that we see on primetime hours. Some of the things that we hear, we are surprised that they're able to say that. We see again a permissiveness, a trend here, a tendency that is to throw off all restraints. You can do whatever you want to do. It is established practice. Also, as we said in commercials, if you can connect whatever you're selling with sex or with immorality or some kind of immorality, then you can sell it. If you've got a car you want to sell, if you've got an outboard motor, if in some way you can connect that, you're going to get people's attention. They're going to listen to what you have to say. What are some of the top-rated programs that we find on television? And why are they rated at the top? One of the things that we would discover about them is that of their immorality that they set forth. As we would call immorality, the world just calls it an everyday part of life, an alternative lifestyle, whatever they choose to do. But the reason they're rated at the top, week in and week out and year out, is for this reason, that of morality or immorality. And we find all kind of permissiveness when it goes or when it heads in this direction. I read this from a Catholic magazine. It was a religious view concerning the things that we see about us. And this was a statement that was made by the Roman Catholic Church. It says, premarital sex is not recognized in an official way by the church, but it is recognized that things have changed, and it is not clear about its attitudes toward that change. Here is an official statement that comes from a religious group that says that we don't go along with these things, but we're not clear where we stand. And until we decide where we stand, the people that follow that particular religion, they're going to be just as confused as those who are the leaders. We find that the Bible tells us how clearly we ought to stand on moral issues, and whatever those moral issues might be. We find then a permissiveness in morality. When it comes to marriage and divorce and remarriage, we find also people just kind of doing exactly what they want to do in regards to this. That there are live-in arrangements. Again, we've seen that in our day. That divorce can be for no fault, just any reason for whatsoever. And no thought is given at all when it concerns remarriage. Does an individual have a scriptural right? We find people just, again, living together. All kind of arrangements when it comes to the morality or to the immorality that we find people engaging in when we talk about marriage and divorce and remarriage. We also find a permissiveness in the dress. As almost anything goes, almost anything that anybody wants to wear in public is something that is accepted. You can be well-dressed, and it almost seems that the emphasis is upon the physical. It's upon the physical body and how well you can make it look. We have the other extreme that goes to that which is almost extremely sloppy, where it's almost an I don't care attitude. We can see those who are barely dressed also. Anything goes. There's a permissiveness in our society when it comes to morality in these areas. And if you don't believe that, then one day this summer, I want you to go out here to one of these malls and find you a good place to sit down where you can watch people walking by and spend about 30 minutes or an hour seeing at what people, taking a look at what they are wearing out in public or what they're barely wearing out in public. You'll be surprised. Anything does go. And the simple reason is there's a permissiveness. We can do anything that we want to do. All restraints and barriers have been thrown off. There is a reason for this permissiveness, though, and that is simply this. People have left the biblical standard. They have left the teaching that is found in God's Word. We don't live by the standards that's found in the world. Paul points out in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 that we have become living sacrifices. We're not conformed to this world. We're not like this world. We're not shaped and molded into that image that fits the world. We're shaped and molded into the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And our minds are transformed into that image. 1 Peter 1 and 14 says that we're not fashioned according to our former lust. That is the ways of the world. We're not striving to impress the world. We're not striving to keep up with the world. We're striving to keep up with the image of Jesus Christ. We want to impress Jesus Christ, our Lord. We want to live by that standard He has established. And that's going to be a different standard than the world does. In Acts 10, we find a good moral man by the name of Cornelius. But he needed to meet God's standards. According to the world, even according to the Jewish religion, they looked up to this person, good moral person. But he needed to meet God's standards, not the world. The Bible teaches us concerning morality. And that's one of the things that Christ set forth in the Sermon on the Mount. Time and time again, he was pointing to morality. In the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew, he talks about hatred, that we are not to hate our brother. He talks about in that same chapter what adultery in the heart is. He's speaking of morality. Later on, he talks about marriage and God's pattern for marriage. Paul speaks to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, verses 8 through 10, concerning our dress and our attire, how it is to be, not like the world, not to impress the world, but to be pleasing in the sight of God. You know, when it comes to dress, some people have questions, and maybe they're honest in their questions, and they wonder whether they're supposed to wear, they can wear certain things or not. And I suppose if you have questions such as that, the best question that you can ask yourself is this. When I wear this particular thing, will the first thing that the other person notice about me, is it my morality or is it my physical being? What are they going to notice about me most of all? Is it my morality and the image that I am trying to stress and get across to them that I am a Christian? Or is it something else that they're impressed with? I think we can decide a lot of questions concerning whether we are to wear something or not when we're able to answer that question. We need to beware of this trend wagon of permissiveness that's found in morality. Because once again, I want to emphasize, if it's found in society, it's going to affect the church. And you may make the claim it's not influencing you any way whatsoever. But it is. It has some influence. It has some effect on you. It may not cause you to engage in something immoral, but it may cause you to break down barriers that were there that the Word of God had established. There's a permissiveness also when it comes to the church and it comes to the home in today's attitude toward discipline. In the home, there's little or no discipline at all. My age was raised on Dr. Spock. And that telling them, kind of the child raises themselves. You don't discipline a child. You don't instruct them. You just kind of leave them on their own. And even in today's society, we see some effects of that. Children are raising themselves. They are making decisions for themselves. And there's little or no discipline in the home. And when there is no discipline, that is going to lead to rebellion and to delinquency. We even find that a lot of grown-ups are trying to be like the kids. They want to be like their children. When I was growing up, children always wanted to be like the adults. Now that my age has grown up, we find that people my age want to be like the children. We've got it reversed once again. We need to realize that we as grown-ups, we as adults, and we as parents have an obligation to discipline and to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. In some instances also, we find parents sending their children to church, that being once a week, and then they want to blame the church and eventually they want to blame God, when their children turn out to be rotten as they can be. And yet they'll blame God for that, and they'll send their children to church once a week. They pass their responsibilities off to someone else to raise and discipline their children. It's been said by the time that an individual reaches 20 years of age that they will spend 35,000 hours in school and before the television and only 1,500 hours in study of the Bible, that is, in church, and that is if they go Wednesday night and Sunday morning. 35,000 hours in school and before the television as compared to 1,500 hours in a study of God's Word. And we wonder why sometimes our children do not turn out like we want them to. I don't know what that ratio is. Somebody's good in math can figure it up real quick. 35,000 to 1,500. No wonder the world influences our children more than the Bible does. In the church, there is little or no discipline. Many have become lax when it comes to discipline. They're permissive in this way. And the argument is that we can't do that. Or we might run them off. We just can't. We can't drive them away. And some churches are permitting more than what God allows them. But the Word of God gives us plain and simple teaching in this area. And we cannot be permissive. We don't live by the world's ever-changing standard. Discipline is something that is commanded in the home. All we have to do is look back to the Old Testament in 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, verse 13, at Eli's sons and what happened to them. And there's one simple comment that the Word of God makes concerning Eli in relationship to his sons, and that is he did not restrain them. He did not teach, instruct them. He did not discipline them. And as a result, they sinned and they caused many in Israel to sin. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He that spareth the rod hateth him, hates his son." Now again, we find that philosophy of flip-flopped in our society today. And that is, you don't hit your children. If you hit them, you don't love them. God says if you spare them, if you spare the rod, you hate your children. That calls for discipline. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 says we are to bring up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. God calls for discipline in the home. And it's laid squarely upon the shoulders of the parents to bring about this discipline. We cannot be lax and we cannot be permissive in our attitude. When it comes to the church also, it is something that is commanded. Because the church, the body of Christ, cannot overlook sin and permit it just simply to go on and on and on. In 1 Corinthians 5, we find that the church at Corinth, concerning that individual that had sinned, that they were to have no company with him. Don't keep company with this individual. There was discipline that took place. In Paul was condemning them because they were not having that discipline or taking that action toward that erring brother. In 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 and 14, also we find there Paul talking to the saints there at Thessalonica to withdraw and to have no company with that one who was engaging in sin. In Titus 3 and verse 10, we find there we are to refuse, we are to avoid. Paul here is talking about discipline in the church. It is something that is necessary. It is something that is commanded. And we are not doing anybody any favors when we fail to discipline. When we fail to discipline our children, we're not doing them any favors. None whatsoever. When we fail to discipline those that need it in the body of Christ, we're not doing anybody any favors. We're only doing Satan a favor. We're not following the will of God. In the home, it causes disrespect for authority. And in the church, failure to discipline allows sin among those who are striving to be faithful in the sight of God. We cannot be permissive, as we see in our society today. When it comes also to attendance, we find many that are very permissive in the religious world. When it comes to attendance in Bible studies and in coming to the assemblies of the saints, today's attitude is that, you know, it's almost present in every church that it's not important. It's really not all that important. We find many very famous athletes and people in society who are making the statement that you can be a Christian and not attend church, not be a part of any kind of religious organization. And many people, even in the body of Christ, take the attitude that as long as you're here on Sunday morning, then that's all that's important. As long as you're here to give and to partake of the Lord's Supper, then nothing else really matters. You can do whatever you want to. These are the same people who would equate a good moral person as a Christian. They have this concept that a good moral person, regardless of where they're found, is a Christian. These are the people who do not appreciate the purity of the life that a Christian is supposed to lead. They don't appreciate that purity at all. The Bible teaching is very plain when it comes to attendance, and that is we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The writer of the book of Hebrews says this in the 10th chapter, verses 25 and 26. We cannot become permissive in our attitudes toward attendance. We must live by what the Word of God has to say. When it comes also to preaching, we find that many have a very lax, permissive attitude. And it's even present in the body of Christ today. When it comes to preaching, people want to be entertained. That's just the way that it is. They want to be entertained. They want somebody to stand before them and tell them a few jokes. Maybe have one little short verse in there with a nice, good moral lesson that they can take home, and they can remember all the jokes that they have been entertained with that day. Or that they want some kind of PTA sermon, that is, something that does not offend anybody, that you could stand before any crowd, doesn't make any difference what their religion was, and they wouldn't be offended by one thing that you had to say. That's the kind of permissiveness. People want to hear certain things. We talked about that this morning, where Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the time would come when they would not endure sound doctrine. That time has come. It came in the first century. It's here now. People want to hear what they like to hear. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Olive Pell's Bible, but it's a Bible where a lady by the name of Olive Pell went through it, and if she didn't like a particular verse, she cut it out. She just removed it from her Bible because she did not like it. She did not go along with that. Well, there's a lot of people who don't do that physically, but mentally they do that. Doctrinally they do that. They just simply remove verses from the Bible. In Jeremiah 36 and 23, we read a man by the name of Jehudi there and the penknife that he had. How that he decided when the prophet of God sent the message to the king, he's just going to cut the message up. He's just going to slice it up with his penknife as if it did not exist, as if that changed the will of God. You know, we can take this Bible, and we can do anything that we want to with it. We can tear it up and we can burn it. We can reverence it. We can worship it. But you know, it doesn't change one thing about God's will. It's still here. We have to follow it. The Bible's teaching is that we must declare the whole counsel of God. Paul made this statement to the saints there and to the elders in Ephesus in Acts 20 and verse 27. He says, I fail not to declare to you the whole counsel of God. That's what has to be declared. And as we pointed out this morning in 2 Timothy 4 verses 2 and 3, we are to be urgent in season and out of season. Preach the word. Leave nothing out. Preach everything that is there. But there is a permissiveness, even in the body of Christ today, that says, well, we won't teach everything. We'll leave those things off that many people find offensive. Or we won't preach it as hard as we know the Word of God teaches it. Perhaps there are other areas that we could spend some time on this evening, talking about permissiveness in our society. And I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that. I don't think anybody's going to say, well, we're headed in the other direction, where we're becoming too strict for what the Bible has to say. Now, most of us will agree that we're headed in the other direction. We're allowing more and more and more. We're getting further away from this thing that anchors our soul, from this thing that is pleasing in the sight of God. But what is at stake with all these permissive trends? Why should we become so alarmed by it? One of the reasons is that it affects the identity of the Lord's church. If it's in society, it's going to affect the church. We're going to have to battle it. And if we don't battle it, it's going to affect the identity of God's church, the one for which Jesus Christ purchased with his blood. And so that's what's at stake. Evangelizing the world is at stake. The saving of our souls and the souls of our children and everyone that we can reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is at stake in this permissiveness that we see. Trends involve much time, and they involve many, many people. We can see, even from in our own time, how that certain practices that were engaged in 20 and 25 years ago, where that has led to today. And there are many who are in the liberal churches who are lamenting the fact of how far their children and their grandchildren have gone following the simple principles that they, the parents and the grandparents, laid down 20 and 25 years ago. Trends are like that. Tendencies are like that. Where we go, we might think, well, I'm going to stop right here. This particular tendency or trend is not going to go so far that I'm going to engage in immorality or I'm going to engage in sin. But that first step that we take in a direction away from the Word of God, we might know where to stop. But we've headed in that direction, and our children and our grandchildren won't know where to stop. And they will look to us and our influence and our example that says, you started me in that direction. And this is what has happened to many in the liberal churches today. They regret the steps that they have taken because they headed their own children and grandchildren in that direction. And what you have started now, your children and your grandchildren may carry to extremes that you never dreamed of. Yet you are the one that started them on that road. That's the danger that we see in these tendencies that we find in our society today. And sometimes we scratch our head and we say, I don't know if I ought to be engaged in that or not. And if we have any questions about it, we shouldn't be. God's Word remains the same throughout all generations. It was the same when I was growing up, when my parents were growing up, and their parents and the parents before them. It's going to be the same when your grandchildren and great-grandchildren are growing up. It's not going to change. That's the thing that we need to follow. Not the patterns and not the tendencies and the trends that we see in society, but the rock-solid Word of God. And let's make sure we take our stand upon it and it only. If you're here this evening and not a child of God, you have an opportunity. There's a song that has been selected that we're going to sing. And the words in that song are so calculated to cause you to think about your relationship with God. Whether you're outside of the fold of safety, if you are, then you need to render obedience. Humble yourself to the commands of God. Do what He says. That you have your faith, and let your faith lead you to repentance and confession of that faith, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If as an erring child of God you've sinned in some way, you've reproached the church in the name of Christ, you've done something to cause shame upon Him, people see what you have done, you need to seek forgiveness and ask for the prayers of those saints that are here. This is something that we can do together. We can help one another. And as I said in the very beginning, I hope that you look forward to this time as being a time of safety, a time when you can be yourself, a time that you enjoy. If someone outside of the fold of safety, why don't you enjoy the blessings that are offered through Jesus Christ, the Son of God? The only way you can do that is through humble obedience. The song has been selected. All you have to do is make your way forward. And won't you do it as we stand and as we sing?